Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Sorcerer's Dictionary. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's so good to be with everybody on a beautiful but cold Saturday night. We're always glad to be here. And I got my partner in crime, the one and only Jason McClendon. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well, John. How are you?
It's always an adventure, isn't it?
Oh, I know that's for sure. Yeah.
It really is, but we're so glad to have you here with us. Now, I want to make one announcement about the Alabama Paracon, because we are certain of the date, which is August 30th, and around the first of the year, we are going to announce the location. And that's going to be a fantastic thing. I'll go ahead and release a little bit of information that you'll be a speaker, I will be a speaker, and Bigfoot expert Robin Haynes McCray is going to be there speaking as well. And we'll have a couple of other speakers. And on Sunday, we might try to have a little bit of a festival because it's May Day. So we'll see how that goes. But everybody, mark your calendars. April the 30th is going to be the first annual Alabama Paracon. It's going to be a lot of fun. So don't miss that one. Jason, I know you're going to be there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there.
Well, good. You better be. I'm just teasing. So anyway, we've got an interesting show tonight. You are our leader on this show because you are going to discuss the topic of chaos magic. I'm very interested in this, and I want to hear what you've got to say. I might have a few remarks along the way, but let's go. Chaos magic, and here is Jason McClendon. Let her rip.
All right. Thanks, John. Well, I'll first start off by kind of giving a very simple definition of what chaos magic is. It's basically a sort of more, in a way, scientific approach to the practice of magic in that it's very results-based. You do what brings results. And there are a few different sort of main, I guess you'd say, philosophies behind chaos magic. But it basically boils down to doing what works. There are a few different methods of working with chaos magic and a few different, I guess you would say, quote unquote denominations, but you know, ultimately it's a very personal thing. It's kind of what you bring into your practice. But some of the basic philosophies of chaos magic, it's kind of like some of the stuff that we've already discussed, John. Like the universal consciousness or the collective consciousness comes into play, in that a lot of the workings that you do in chaos magic work to use symbolic sort of using symbols and attaining what the chaos magicians call gnosis, which is an altered state of consciousness, to allow these symbols and these intentions to bypass the conscious mind and sink into the subconscious mind and plant these intentions into the seed of the collective consciousness or the universal consciousness so that they come to fruition. And some of the methods of working with this principle is using sigils. One of the ways that you can make a sigil is by writing out a short statement of intent, preferably in the present tense and in a positive manner. For example, you wouldn't make a sigil that said, "I will quit smoking," but you would make it something more along the lines of, "I am enjoying a life free of smoking," or instead of writing, I don't want to be broke, you would write out, I am enjoying the continuous growth in wealth, and continuous growth in my wealth, something like that. And what you would do is you would take the vowels out and any repeating letters until you're left with just a few letters, and you would rearrange these letters in a way that where you can't really recognize them as letters. You would add some little artistic flair to it, and that's basically a sigil. And the act of creating a sigil in itself has some power, but then to really sort of officially cast your spell, so to speak, you would charge the sigil with psychic energy by focusing on it, staring at it. Some people will visualize strongly what they desire while staring at the sigil. There's also methods where you stare at the sigil intently and think of nothing at all, but just the image right in front of you. And doing things such as heavy breathing or deep meditation, whatever, to achieve the altered state of consciousness. And then you would release the working by doing something to destroy the sigil, either by burning it, which is the method that I've used most often, and or you can throw it in a river, or really you could throw it in the garbage, or whatever you would do that, you know, whatever would work best for you. You can experiment with it to see what works best, but the general idea is to destroy the sigil, release the intention, and then put it out of your mind and not to look for the result. Because in the teachings of chaos magic, the lust of result hinders the magic because your conscious mind is interfering with it. And then you have other things like the dual nature desire not to achieve result that kind of mess around with the idea that you're trying to put into the collective consciousness and can nullify it or confuse it or, you know, things like that. Like for an example, like one time I did a lousy working. I wasn't focused properly and I was thinking about it, but it did bring about a result. I was trying to manifest a sum of money, but I was going back and forth in my mind between two different amounts. I wasn't quite sure. And then I was like, oh, do I really want this? Should I really be doing this at this time like this? You know, different thoughts like that. And then just other random thoughts that were unrelated to the working. And, you know, I completed the spell, the ritual. And then at the end of the day, literally at the end of the day, it was later that night, I had done the working that morning, and later on that night, I had gotten a text message from some random guy that I had never met before who insisted that he knew me. He told me his name, said he was at my girl's house or oh girl's house, but I guess it was a typo of some sort. I told him I didn't know him, and then he just proceeded to send me pictures of his truck and a bunch of cash laying on his bed. I'm like, what in the world is this? And I counted up the cash in the photo, and the amounts that I was fluctuating between were $2,000 and $5,000. And in the picture that he sent me, there was a bunch of cash laying on his bed, and I counted it out, and it equaled up to $1,881. So just about $100 or so shy of the $2,000. And the way I put that was the manifestation of the working because of all the lack of focus and lack of specificity and things like that. it manifested in this bizarre text message from some random guy that I had ever met. And so, yeah, the thing, if you're not focused, if you're not specific, things can get weird. There was, and another example of a successful working that I have done that I believe we have actually talked about, I didn't use the method for making sigils by writing out the statement of intent. Instead, I had the idea of my mind of what I wanted to manifest, and I made little, very simple symbolic images inside of a circle drawn on a small piece of notebook paper, and I drew them up, and then a subconscious connection to this was a dream that I had one time. And what I had wanted to happen was that I was missing a lot of my friends, and I wanted to reunite with them again. So what I did was I made some little symbolic pictures that represented the times when we would hang out. And a dream that I had during the time we were all hanging out, which was that I had a MySpace account, and my friends' count on it had reached a level that, for some reason, it instead of giving me a number, it just said HOM3Y. It was homie, but it was spelled HOM3Y. And so I put that, wrote that across the top of the circle. After I had done that, later that evening, it was early in the morning because I was working night shift at the time. When I got off work, it was probably about 4:30 in the morning. I went to a park nearby where we had hung out at before and had other paranormal experiences at. And I went there and I put my headphones in and I listened to the song Homies by ICP, because that was kind of like one of our songs. And what I did was
ICP
I envisioned...
Is an Insane Clown Posse?
Yes, it is an Insane Clown Posse, the horrorcore rap group.
Well, yeah, the reason I don't know them as ICP, I know them as Insane Clown Posse, because they're wrestlers. And as you know, I'm the co-host of Pro Wrestling Interviews, so this is really kind of funny. Yeah, when you said that, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is Insane Clown Posse. I'm sorry. I just had to mention that. We love wrestling, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some interesting folks, too. But
some interesting what?
Yeah, interesting folks.
People. Oh, they are. Yeah, yeah.
But, so I was listening to their song Homies and dancing around while strongly envisioning us all hanging out, like having a party pretty much, and just, you know, having a good time and everything. And after the song was over, I took that feeling, that energy of that feeling, and I channeled it into my breath, and I blew onto the sigil, onto the piece of paper, and then I lit it on fire, and I let my desire, my wish, fly up with the smoke to be manifest by the universe. And then I went running and achieved that altered state of consciousness by intense running. And then when I left, I went home, and I went to bed. I woke up. I was just hanging out. I got on Facebook, and this happened probably around 2014 or 2015, somewhere around that time. Anyway, I woke up, and when I woke up, I got on Facebook. I was just scrolling along, and I saw a post by one of these friends saying something like, I don't have any friends because people are dumb. And then another one of my friends commented on it, no, you don't have any friends because you won't talk to any of us. And I can't remember the entire conversation, but it was to the effect of, I miss you guys. And he said, and my other friend said he would be back in Alabama for the summer within the coming week. And so when, and later on scrolling down, they started planning a get together, a reunion of sorts. A reunion of the fam, as they would call it, or the homies and all that. And people were talking about who would bring what. Someone was like, yeah, I'll bring drinks, I can cook, you know, et cetera. Oh, this is going to be awesome. Miss you guys. Like, I had done that working that morning. It had not even been 24 hours. And they were already talking about making it happen. No one knew I did this. No one except me. And, yeah.
Did you ever tell them?
I did when we were having the little get-together. I told a couple people. They didn't seem to get it, though. I'm not really sure, like. But, I mean, it's okay. It's whatever. Like, it happened, so, you know. They don't have to, like, believe it or know about it or
okay,
whatever.
Yeah,
like, it's not like they didn't. Yeah, and it wasn't like they didn't believe it. Like, one of my good friends that was there, like, he's one of my best friends, really. Like, we still talk, you know, from time to time and stuff, you know, and he's into some pretty weird stuff, too. You know, he believed me, but I don't know, like, he was just like, okay. So I was excited. I was just like, no, guys, you don't understand. This is, like, this works and this is happening, and then, you know, but it's okay. It, you know, it is what it is. It worked, and I was excited. It happened. We had a good time. So, you know, it was really awesome.
All right.
But,
well, that is okay. First of all, I've got to say that is an altogether amazing story. It's like today. I was. Can I share a story about performing in front of people? This is important. May I share this with you, Jason?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like, I've got a buddy from England, because we're kind of in the same business. We're in the event management business. And in case everybody doesn't know, I run with you the Alabama Paracon. I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and the South Carolina Lizardman Festival, and also the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, which is going to be in Myrtle Beach the 26th of March at Angelo's Restaurant. It's going to be a lot of fun. And before COVID hit, I ran 10 Comic-Cons and festivals, and I made a very good living. And I sat here, and in 6 days, my entire business collapsed because of COVID. And Jason, I'll tell you something. You talk about a frightening thing is to watch everything that you've done for 5 years just vanish in 6 days. I mean, it was terrible.
Right.
Anyway, he's an event promoter in England, and we you know, we talk sometimes when we both happen to be on Facebook Messenger and all. And I was talking about the fact that I'm a bit of a medium. And a medium means you, well, if you remember that great film, The Sixth Sense, which is truly my favorite horror film, when the boy says, I speak to dead people, that just sent chills up and down my spine, because, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm in contact with the departed, and it's very interesting. So he said,
oh,
really?
Yeah,
that's right. So he said, really? I said, yeah. I said, let me do this. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I want to give you some names that mean something to you. And the name I picked out was Henry. He said, oh, my God, that's my mother's father. He's passed away. Then I said, Abigail, oh, my God, that's Henry. That was Henry's wife. Then I said, it's an S. And it's not Stephen, but it's two syllables. He said, is it Stuart? I said, yes. That's my great uncle. You talk about pulling a rabbit out of a hat. That was pulling a rabbit out of a hat. But what that was that was proof. And that's what you're getting at with chaos magic, correct? That you can actually prove something occurs because of what you did. Now, did I get that right?
Yes. Yes, that is one of the big things about behind chaos magic. It's doing what you can prove or you have very sufficient evidence is true, that the stuff actually works. It's very results-oriented.
All right. I'm really going to go out on a limb. You have an aunt that I believe has passed away, but she really, really loved you. What was her name?
Me?
Yeah. She absolutely loved you to death, like you were her son. Or maybe it was a great aunt, but she passed away. What was her name? Because I know, I mean, I feel her.
Right. Yeah, nothing's really coming to mind of, like, my aunt. I'm the only aunts that I've had that have passed away that I know from my dad's side. But my wife's aunt had recently passed away earlier this year. My wife and my aunt-in-law.
Oh, did she really love you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got your wife's
more
aunt,
so
not your aunt. That's okay.
Yeah, more so than
okay.
Any of my immediate family.
Okay, great. Got that one right. That's chaos magic, right?
Yes.
It's chaos magic from a medium. I've learned I'm not a psychic. I've learned that I'm a medium. That doesn't matter. I just think psychic is a good umbrella term for people that can get ideas and things. So that's great. We'll talk about that more after the show. I'm so glad that I was right. But yeah, she loved you. Oh, she really did. And she was an aunt, just on your wife's side. Okay, that's close. That's close enough for government work, isn't it?
Yeah, that's who popped in my mind when you first said it as well. I was trying to think of my blood family, but now she's what really came to mind. So
she's an aunt. It's close enough for government work. I mean, you know, we're dealing with a bit of an inexact science, correct?
Oh, most certainly.
And so if we get close, we get close. Yeah. Okay. So that's my experience with my buddy Craig. He's an event promoter in England, and I picked up the names of his grandparents on his mother's side and a granduncle, and he was speechless is the word. Nice guy, too. Does a great job with his event. I've never met him, but he's just somebody on Facebook. You know, you get in these groups, and you talk to people that do kind of the same thing you do, and you become friends. And, you know, I love England. God, I love England. I made so many friends when I was there. And it was about 10 years ago. I just loved it. But, yeah, it was real funny. There you go, chaos magic. Now, can you explain a little more about chaos magic? Because this is a term I've never heard, but I personally like what I hear, especially the idea of proving things, because I'm a scientist. I got my doctorate from North Carolina State University. And the one thing that they taught me in the School of Computer Science and the School of Education was that you better get data and you better prove what you're saying. And I think that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And I love the idea of chaos magic. So please continue on. You've opened a lot of eyes tonight, and I think you have. And just a big shout out to the Coleman Cabal and all those. Oh my goodness. Saw a shadow figure over there on the other side of the room. It's interesting. I love the conversations with you because they precipitate a lot of psychic activity, and I'm not afraid to say it. It's the way it is. So anyway, tell us a little bit more or another – well, you've given us a couple really good examples of manifestation. But just tell us a little bit more in general. Now, like, where did the term chaos magic come from? And a little bit more of its history, if you've got that on the tip of your tongue, sir.
Yeah, I can give like a general overview. I'm not like too knowledgeable on the in-depth history, but it's something that just kind of evolved throughout the 20th century. I guess the one man who is considered to be the sort of great grandfather of chaos magic was a man by the name of Austin Osmond Spare. He was an artist, but he was also an occultist. But his practice was very unorthodox. He just kind of – he would really, in a way, by kind of like the way you've been talking, he was a medium. He could contact these spirits, but he would also channel manifestations through his art just by doing various forms of art. And, you know, it was just – what some would call chaotic because it wasn't systematized or anything like that. And then Peter Carroll, he wrote probably one of the best known books on chaos magic called Libernal and Psychonaut, where he kind of goes through the protocols of working with chaos magic and some of the terminology and kind of like what chaos magic itself means and what it refers to, what chaos refers to, is it's not magic that causes chaos. Like, that's a common misconception when someone first hears the term chaos magic. What chaos refers to is the boundless. It's unordered because it's infinite, and you take from the infinite, from the boundless, and you form it into what you desire. And so chaos magic, in essence, from that term, is magic with working with the boundless, working with, you know, the infinite potential and making something out of that, using that potential and using the methods of psychic channeling and ways of working with what some today would call psi energy. The early chaos magicians called it Kia, or K-I-A, and this is the sort of the energy that kind of permeated the universe, sort of like the ether, and it, working with it was how you channeled your desires into the universe to cause manifestation. And It's evolved. Yeah,
That's great. That's a great explanation, and it's evolved. Now I want to ask you another question. You used a word that I came across today. I'll go ahead and let everybody know we're working on a book, and it's coming out January 1st. And we'll let everybody know the name of the book here shortly once we decide on it. But I've got a chapter that I'm putting together on dowsing, and you know what dowsing is. It's getting a wishbone style branch, or it's getting two copper rods and finding things. Right? You're familiar with that, right, Jason?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, I found out that in 1521, Martin Luther, the great reformist and the great preacher, declared dowsing the work of the devil because it violated the first commandment, thou shalt only do things that are of God. That's the first commandment. And he called dowsing an occult phenomenon. Now, you're very well, you are superbly educated in this. And I'm going to tell everybody that I have never met a self-taught person other than Abraham Lincoln that knows as much about their field as you. And I want that to go on record. You're on par with Abraham Lincoln. He was a self-educated lawyer, and man, he was a good lawyer. And you are in this field like Abraham Lincoln was in law. So I just wanted to give you a compliment there, a big shout out to you and your abilities and your natural curiosity and how hard you study. But what is the definition? What would be the definition of a cult? I saw that, and I made a note to myself that I wanted to ask you, what does a cult mean? Is it good or bad? Does it have something to do with this thing or that thing? What does a cult mean to you?
Well, the word occult really just means secret or hidden, you know, and I think it's like, I think it's like an occult blood sample is looking for hidden things in your blood. I could be wrong, maybe an occult stool sample, but it just means secret or hidden. But its association with magic and the practices of paranormal magic, alchemy, and things like that comes from in the 1500s. There was a man by the name of Cornelius Agrippa, and
I've got a quote from him in my chapter on dowsing in the 1500s. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Cornelius Agrippa had penned a book called De Occulta Philosophia, or The Occult Philosophy, or as most people today would know it as The Three Books of Occult Philosophy or Magic. And he explains the art of magic as a hidden science, and he calls it the hidden philosophy. And this is what really the word occult was kind of used in reference to magic and witchcraft beforehand, but he's the one that really sort of made it a big thing. It's like, well, when you hear the word occult, you think of magic because of his three books of occult philosophy. It was the three books of the hidden philosophy or the secret philosophy. And it had to do with magic and what magic was and where magic came from and how to do magic and all these things. And so after that, you know, he developed a major reputation for one, as this major sorcerer, and, you know, rumors would spread that he was evil and all that kind of stuff. But
and in league with the devil and all that, right?
Oh yeah. Like, and in fact, it later, at one point, grimoires, you know, just books of magical workings, were actually called Agrippa's there for a little bit because of how heavily, you know, his name was attached to these things. And but he's the one that really made the word occult popular in referring to the magical arts, and
but,
so it ultimately just means hidden. It dealing with
okay,
the hidden,
means hidden,
the unseen world.
Okay, so here is the example that I gave to contradict Martin Luther. I'm sorry, Martin Luther, you're listening to this, and we know you're a great guy, but here's what I've got to say. All right, Jason, you haven't eaten in 2 days, and you walk in from work. You're probably going to be what?
Hungry.
You haven't eaten now in 2 days, so what are you going to be?
I'll be hungry.
That is exactly right, okay? All right, that's a hidden thing. You know internally you're hungry, but that doesn't show up on your arms or legs or hands, does it?
No.
Okay, it doesn't. So what are you likely to do? Which room of the house are you likely to go into first because you're hungry?
The kitchen.
That is correct. And you somehow magically know to either open a cabinet or open the refrigerator, correct?
Yes.
Why are you going to open them?
Because they have food.
That's exactly right. And so what are you going to do with the contents of one or the other or both? What are you going to do?
I'm going to make something to eat.
That's exactly right. And then what are you going to do once you make something to eat?
I'm going to eat it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you got the answer to that last question. That was the single most important one. But that was hidden. That is no more hidden than dousing. Because, you know, I've got my dousing rods right over there. And I can go in someone's house and I can find the haunted spots like that. And I've done it in front of people before. And they've seen me do it. And they are amazed. It's like I went to my surgeon's house. He's a co-host on ScaryCast. By the way, ScaryCast, 9 p.m. Monday nights with Dr. Trey Donaway, Robin McCray, Devin Tate, and Mark Johnston. I mean, it's action-packed. ScaryCast. And you, sir, have been on it. And by the way, you are the second highest rated episode of this year on ScaryCast. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. No, did not know that.
Yeah. I just looked at the numbers. You're the second highest rated show on ScaryCast. Thanks to all the Coleman Cabal people for listening. And we appreciate it. But the point is, I walk into Trey's house. And he said, I want you to go around this bottom floor here and tell me where the problems are. And I found two of them. And so I walk in his living room, and I'm sitting there talking to his wife. She said, well, where'd you find the problems? I said, right at the door of your bedroom with Trey, and then at the guest bedroom is crazy. There's more spirits in there than you can shake a stick at. She said, oh, my God, I won't go into the guest bedroom. I'm too afraid. It's like, you know, again, what is that? That's chaos magic, right? I've proven that I can do something, and I like your definition of that. I know your definition comes from other folks, but you did a great job on the definition here on this show. So the whole point is that a cult? I don't think so. It's hidden. The fact that there are spirits in those two areas of the house, that's not a cult. It's just, well, it's hidden. That's not in league with the devil. I mean, I can't help it. She got spirits in her guest bedroom. Can I, Jason? Can I help that?
No, not really. It's
not really.
Of,
I mean,
you know, things that happen.
These are actual. I'm asking you very simple, straightforward questions. Don't worry about it. You know, it's the answer that you think. It's not. It's hidden. You know, I mean, if I walked into her house, I'd have never guessed that was the hidden place where all the spirits are. But I got my divining rods out and I found it out. So how could that be an occult practice? It couldn't be. So Martin Luther, you're wrong. You're absolutely 100% wrong. You were apparently a great man and a great reformationist in the church, and you are big in the Methodist church, but you were wrong on the dousing rods, because that is just finding something that's hidden. That's what I think. And Jason, I'll put my money on, I'll put a $20 bill on that one. For anybody that can contradict me. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
Okay, that's what I think. I'm sorry I've taken up too much of your time, because this is an excellent show that you're carrying on with. So please give us a little bit more about chaos magic, because this has been good. I have learned a lot, and we have learned examples of chaos magic that may be nothing more than mediumship. Right? Am I correct?
Yeah, and a lot of the chaos magicians that I have, you know, seen on Facebook and some of the groups that I'm in, they all, well, not all of them, but a lot of them, you know, do practice what, you know, be called mediumship, and it's a fairly common thing.
I think it is too. My buddy in England thinks it's pretty darn special when I got the names of his grandmother and grandfather on his mother's side. He thought that was very special. We were doing a video chat, and you should have seen his mouth drop wide open. He said, oh, my God, how did you know their names?
That felt pretty awesome,
just
though.
Did. That boy's mouth dropped wide open. And I said, S. I said, it's not Stephen. And he said, is it Stuart? I said, yeah, that's it. He said, oh, my God, that's my uncle, my great uncle. So anyway, yeah, there's nothing. It's just a matter of things that come to you. I know now you and I have discussed this, and I know that you have the ability from time to time to get ideas and state them, and they turn out to be correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. I'm sorry. I would love to invite anybody onto this show that can prove to me that a cult is the work of the devil. It's a natural thing. And I've got an old book out. And in fact, Jason, I sent you a copy of a PDF from this old book by Joseph Godovich called Magic Science of the Future. And it's just a bunch of old stuff. The book's from 1960-something. It's just a bunch of old technology that he collected, and it's not the work of the devil. The work of the devil is sending a demon into a church, I believe. I mean, this is just natural stuff that's out there, and our thoughts. Okay, all right, I'm done. Next, you're there. Why don't you give us your final thoughts in closing on chaos magic, and what you would suggest for someone that wants to learn more about chaos magic? Could you do that for us, please?
Oh yeah, definitely. I do want to say one more thing about the occult too, as well, because you know, you making your statement and your point that is not of the devil. In fact, by definition of the occult being hidden or secret or dealing with the hidden side of reality, that's what goes on in the church on a regular basis, because, you know, in whatever denomination or whatever, if you're praying, you're praying to, you know, God who is hidden, you know, or in give or take, you know, however you wish to, like, term hidden, you know, you can see God everywhere, technically. But, you know, if you're dealing with the unseen world, with the hidden world, you know, prayer is a part of that. The sacraments, the way that the priests interact on the behalf of the church, prayer to the saints, you know, all these things, you're dealing with the more hidden side of reality, the occult side of reality, and can all be considered occult practices in their own. But I just wanted to kind of put that out there to kind of complement your earlier statements on how it is not, you know, inherently evil or inherently of the devil. And so, yeah. But, yeah, chaos magic. There's a lot of different techniques that you can learn to do, but it ultimately boils down to kind of using that sort of psychic energy or that Kia to channel your thoughts and wishes through the universal consciousness. And yeah, if you're interested, you can do the sigil experiment, like I had mentioned earlier in the show, just to try it out. But then there are also some good books out there on it, on chaos magic, that you can get on Amazon or anywhere else, and you can read them and learn and do what they say to do, and, you know, you can become a practicing chaos magician within a week. You know, it's not anything super elaborate or anything like that. I mean, there are some protocols that involve training the mind and becoming disciplined in your focus and things like that, because that helps you channel that force, and it helps you, you know, keep your focus without, you know, making, you know, being indecisive and ending up causing a weirdo to text you at 8 p.m. that night with pictures of his truck and his money. But the first book that I read that I would recommend on learning chaos magic is a book called Liber Nolan Psychonaut by Peter Carroll. And it's really good. It has a lot of the chaos magic philosophy and exercises and techniques for working with the Kia And also the Psychonaut part is kind of like some psychic exercises and different ways for utilizing the practice for just different practical things. So, like, there's psychic boxing, dream boxing, just different kinds of magic that you can just use in different circumstances and practice with a partner. And the big thing I have to say about it is with chaos magic, if it interests you, just try it out. Do it. Do some magic, because that's what it is. It's very results oriented, and you have to get your hands dirty with it. You have to try it out and find what works and, you know, find what doesn't. And really, this even kind of can include working with more traditional paths of magic, like hermeticism or traditional European witchcraft. You know, you try out these systems, you work with them, you find out the things that work best for you, and you can be real eclectic and use the different systems. But it's ultimately all about finding what works, finding what brings you the results you are looking for, whether that be a manifestation of a material thing in your life or the transformation of certain character traits or anything like that. It's all about getting the results. So I would recommend the book by Peter Carroll to start. That was what I started with. It's a good book. And then there's another one called Advanced Magic for Beginners by Alan Chapman. It's really short and simple. I'm not a big fan of it, but he does lay out a really interesting sort of general procedure for working with magic or working with chaos magic. And I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's basically his 6-step process is to decide what you want to occur, ensure that what you want to occur has a means of manifestation, choose an experience, which would be like a spell or a ritual of some sort that symbolizes what you want to occur, decide that the experience means the same thing as what you want to occur, perform the act, undergo the experience, and then obtain the result. And then, of course, record in a journal.
Yeah, this is the 6 steps, right?
Yes.
And that's the name of the book, and 6 Steps.
Oh, it's called Advanced Magic for Beginners.
Okay. All right,
yeah.
Sorry.
But it is a 6-step process, I'm not a real big fan of a lot of the stuff in the book, but he really nails the head on hits the nail on the head with his 6-step process to working with magic.
Okay, well, that's cool. All right, then, I guess in conclusion, this is the Sorcerer's Dictionary, and tonight's definition is, of course, chaos magic. And I'm going to propose a definition, and then you refine it. Chaos magic is straightforward magic that can be proven. Now, do you have any enhancements to that definition?
Straightforward magic that can be proven. That's pretty, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward definition.
Okay.
And that can be proven. Yeah, I can't think of anything to really add on to that. It simplifies it and sums it up fairly well.
Okay, great. Well, we would like to thank, first of all, our patron saint, the one and only Ambrose Bierce, who created the Devil's Dictionary when he was working at the San Francisco Chronicle in the late 1800s. Truly the genius literary man of the century in the 1800s, Ambrose Bierce. And he's got a great short story in case you haven't read it, The Problem with Crossing a Field. It's only one page long. It's terrifying. It's about a man that steps into a portal. and what happens after that. It gives you the chills. It just gave me a chill. So we want to thank our patron saint, Ambrose Bierce, for the Sorcerer's Dictionary. And I want to thank the one and only Jason McClendon for an absolutely superb talk on Chaos Magic. Jason, thank you so much for being the best leader of a talk I've heard in a long, long time.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Thank you for finding me.
I don't know if I found you or if you found me or if we both found each other, but it worked. So thanks a lot and good evening. I hope everybody has a great week. And we'll be back next week, Saturday night, 9 p.m. on, and what's it called, Jason?
The Sorcerer's Dictionary.
You got it, buddy. We'll see everybody next week. Send your comments, questions, or whatever, and we'll answer them. Thanks a lot, and see you next time. Take care.
Yeah.
Take care.